Today, I want to continue a series that we've been in for a few weeks now called The Thousand Hills Code. The Thousand Hills Code. And the subtitle is The Values We Ride By for Fulfilling Our Purpose. Here's the thing. If you have been to our church for a while, maybe you've heard some of this, but many of you are new to church. You're new to Thousand Hills. And one of the things that we want you to do is understand who we are, what we do, why we do it, and how God has called us to reach the culture around us. And you say, well, why do you want people to know that? Well, here's why. Because when you understand who we are and who God has called us to be, then you are going to be able to support the purpose and the values that we have in our church, and we're going to be unified, and we're going to be able to reach more people. Amen? And so you say, well, why are we doing this again? We want to build unity in our church. And so we've done our best to try to create what we call a value-driven culture. A value-driven culture. And you say, what is that? Well, it's a healthy, effective, and growing culture that is driven by what we value as a church. What we value as a church. And to do that, to help us build this value-driven culture, we've created what we call the Thousand Hills Code. And again, they are biblical values that we ride by to help us fulfill the purpose that God has called us here at Thousand Hills. We've looked at a few so far. I want to recap just for a second, and then we'll dive into a couple more today. Number one was this. You say, what are our values? Well, number one was this. We ride for His brand. In other words, it's all about Jesus. When you come to our church, it's not about me. It's not about the band. It's not about all that stuff. Even though, you know, it's great and people are great at our church. It's all about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's all about Jesus. So we ride by His brand. In other words, He's in charge of this thing that we do called church. And so we're going to honor Him. Number two is this. We ride for the unchurched. We are a cowboy church with a desire to reach people that are unchurched. We want to reach the unchurched world. And so you say, well, why do you sing songs like Josh Turner? Why don't we just dance? Well, here's why. Because the unchurched people understand that song. They've heard that song on country radio. And when they walk in here, they're going to feel more comfortable in this place because they've heard a song that they can recognize. And we do that so that they will feel comfortably uncomfortable, right? That's what we say, comfortably uncomfortable. We want them to feel comfortable enough to understand, hey, we're humans too. We love country music. We love all the things. But at the same time, we want them to feel maybe the conviction or maybe for the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, and they feel uncomfortable where they're at in their life, and they begin to turn to Jesus and He changes their life. Amen? And so we ride for the unchurched. The third thing is we ride by the Word of God. Again, God's Word is the foundation of everything that we do. Every value that we have has a scripture to back it up because we value the Word of God. It is the key to our personal success, and it is the key to the success of our church. Number four was this. We ride for those, or we honor those who ride point. We honor those who ride point. If you've ever driven or been on a cattle drive, you know there's a person that's riding in front that leads the herd, right? That's the point man. Well, in the church, it's the same way. We have men and women that are serving you and riding points, and we desire to honor them, right? We're not here to so you could fill our egos or make us, you know, big-headed or anything like that, but we believe that those that serve us week in and week out, they need to be honored. Amen? And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, you pray for them. You encourage them. When you see them doing something good, you say thank you. And you just encourage them. You build them up and you honor them. Number five was this. We ride our best horse. We ride our best horse. Here's the thing that I found. This life is not a practice run. It's the final run. And so we're going to ride our best horse because God has called us to make a difference in this world. And so we're going to do everything we do in our church with excellence. You say, well, why do we do that? Because we want to glorify God. And so we are going to ride our best horse. Number six was this. We ride to be generous. We ride to be generous. We ride by the code that believes that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? And so we encourage you to give to the church. We encourage you to give a tithe to the church so that we can give generously to the world that's in need, right? We encourage you to give your time to the church, your sweat to the church, so that we can reach more people. And so we ride to be generous as well. Number seven was this: we ride for the next generation. Just like you saw the 13-year-old, David Jr., lead us in worship. We're going to pursue, we're going to reach, we're going to create opportunities for young people to lead in our church now, not just in the future. Because we want them to love Jesus and serve Jesus now, not just wait, right? And so we're going to reach them. We're going to reach those kids, and we're going to ask those kids to reach their friends so that we can reach the next generation. And number eight was this. This is the last one that we've covered so far. We are going to enjoy the ride. We're going to enjoy the ride. I mean, one of the things that I love about our church is you can come and actually smile. Amen? Some of you guys need to learn this. You can come and you can smile and you can get a little Western for the Lord. You can hoop and holler for the Lord. One of the things I love is we've rewritten the word reverence in our church. A lot of people have this idea of reverence being, you know, solemn and, you know, quiet and all this stuff. And that's great. And that's okay. And there is a place for that. But at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, reverence means we are grateful and we're going to celebrate what God has done for us. And we're going to get a little excited about it. And so we enjoy the ride because we're grateful for his forgiveness. Amen? I mean, so again, some of you guys need to grab a hold of that and actually enjoy when you come to church and let go and let God do what he wants to do in your life. Here's some advice that I've learned. In creating these values, here's what I want you to hear. If you own a business, if you are a mom or a dad, or you're, you know, obviously in charge of a family and you're leading your family, and maybe you work at a place and you're the team leader for a team at your business, here's some of the wisdom that I want to share with you. Because here's what I'm learning about our culture as well as the church. If you don't like the culture that you're in and that you're amongst in your business or, you know, the culture around your family, here's what I want to advise you to do. Change it. Change it. I mean, some of you guys, again, you have a toxic culture maybe in your family. And some of you guys have the authority to change it. Maybe you have a toxic teenager who thinks they rule the world and who is the CEO of your family. I think the CEO needs to be the parents. Amen? I'm talking to some of you guys today. And here's the thing. If you have a toxic culture, you have, you know, kids that are, you know, disrespectful, all this stuff, and you have the authority to change it, change it. Because it's going to glorify God. Amen? If you have a business and you have people that are all full of drama and all they want to do is talk and, you know, say bad things and all this stuff, and you're the leader of that business or you're the business owner and you don't like that culture, obviously, change it. Change it for the glory of God. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, you share your values. Maybe you need to come up with some values for your business, and you need to share those values with the people. You need to give them some time to change, some time to embrace those and begin to live by those values. And listen, give them time. Give them mercy. Help them, you know, let them make a mistake every now and then, but then love them, but show them the values that you want them to, you know, to live by. And if they change, great. And if they don't, here's I want to say this kindly, but if they don't want to change, change the people. Again, I don't know how that sets with you, but if you have a toxic culture in your business, change the people too sometimes. Maybe you need to bring somebody new in to help you change the culture of your business. Again, I'm not a businessman, and so you're taking advice from a non-businessman, but I'm learning that if I have the authority to change something that I don't think is valuable or doesn't glorify God, I'm going to do my best to change it. Amen? And so that's my business advice from a non-businessman. So take it for whatever it's worth. But today I want to dive into a couple more, and then we're done for today. You ready for this? Number nine. You say, what are our values? Well, number nine is this. We tend the herd. We tend the herd. You say, what does that mean? Well, we feed, we protect, and we equip Christians to grow as followers of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 20. It says this in verse 28. It says, so guard yourselves as God's people. And what does it say? Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased by his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. You say, okay, Bo, so we're called to tend to the herd. Well, who's the herd? Well, in our situation, the herd is the church, right? And you say, what does it mean to tend to the herd? Well, if you're tending to something, that means that you are caring for it, right? We got some new pigs at our house. We smell like pigs. You can smell it as we walk into the place. But we got three pigs. I think we got Watson is one of them. Watson, that's a good name for a pig, right? Watson, and we have Ignite. I don't know where that name came from. And then we have Bandit or something. I don't know. But they're little, you have a little Chester, and we have two cross pigs. But you, again, I don't know where I was going with that. Well, here's what we have to tend to those pigs, right? You have to take care of them. You have to feed them. I mean, I don't. My kids do. It's their responsibility, right? But they have to tend to them, so they care for them. And you say, well, what does that look like at Thousand Hills? Well, I'll give you a few examples of how we tend to each other at Thousand Hills. Well, the first is this. We love and serve each other as Christ did. What does the verse say? It says, we feed and we shepherd God's flock, his church. Here's what I know. If we love Jesus, guess what? We need to serve the herd. It's just what we should do, right? We should love and serve one another. And you say, well, how do we do that at Thousand Hills? Well, I'll give you a few examples. We have another team called the mending team. The mending team. So let's say you go into the hospital and you're sick, or you're, you know, going through a surgery or whatever. You're having a baby. You know, we are going to be there to help you mend. In other words, we're going to call, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to send cards. We're going to send flowers. And when you get home from, you know, having that baby, we're going to provide meals for you, because you're going to be tired and worn out because this new little human being is in your home. Amen. How many of you guys like a good meal when you're tired that somebody else made for you? That's what I'm talking about. So we love and we serve each other through the mending team. Here's another team that you can join: the prayer team. I mean, you fill out one of these orange cards on a chair. You fill out one of these. You put a prayer request on one of these. Guess what? It goes straight to our prayer team, and they begin to pray for you. Not only just one day, but they pray for you for weeks at a time. And again, you say, well, how do I get to be involved in that prayer team? Well, you join a team. You fill out a card. You say, I want to join the prayer team. And every time somebody fills out one of those cards, you get a notice, you get a text or an email saying, here's who we're praying for. Because we love each other and we want to serve each other. And so those are ways that we love and serve the church, and we tend to the church. But here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but those are great things that we do. But Jesus took it a step further. Did you notice that in verse 28? It says, you know, so guard yourselves as God's people, feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, which was what? Purchased with his own blood. I mean, Jesus, he tended to us by giving his life, by shedding his blood. For who? For the church, for the people, so that they could come to know him. Therefore, if he loved the church that much, guess what? We too should tend to each other by loving and serving the church, which are his people. Amen? And you say, so how do we love and tend to the church? Well, we love and we serve the church. Here's the second thing that we do to tend to the church. We create community. We create community. And you say, what is community? Well, it's a group of people that come together around a common cause, and they fellowship and they love each other. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up what? Meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Again, one of the ways that we tend to the herd at Thousand Hills is we build a community around Jesus. And one of the things that the best ministries that we've created is our ranch groups. Our ranch groups, yeah? You say, well, what is a ranch group? Well, it's a small group that meets together on Sunday nights from 5:30 to 7:30, and they come together, they eat together, they laugh together, they watch the game together, they just fellowship together, and then they go through and they take the notes that I have, you know, that I preach from, and they talk about those together, and they grow in their lives together and their life with Jesus. And we create community. And you say, well, why is that so important? Here's what I know. We need each other. I mean, some of you cowboys are like, no, I don't need anybody. I'm just going to be on my own. I'm the Marlboro man. I'm just going to ride off in the sunset, die from cancer. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's the way we feel sometimes. We feel like, man, I'm just my own man. I don't need anybody. But the truth is, you need people. I need people. And you say, well, why? Here's why. Because every time I go out in a pasture, every time I've, you know, been in a pasture, or I've, you know, just thought, man, I'm just going to go experience God out in the nature. And you can do that, right? You can be out there, and God's out there as well. But here's what I've learned. Cows don't pray for me. You know what they try to do? They try to kill me, actually. But they don't pray for me. You say, why do you need to come to church? Why do you need to have a community of believers that you can be encouraged by? Because they're going to be able to pray for you. When you have a need, they're going to be there for you, right? And so you think, well, I'm going to just go be in nature and I can experience God there. Great, go do that. I do it all the time. But you need the church. You need to experience the relationship with another fellow believer that you can bounce ideas off of, that you can share wisdom with, so that you can be successful in life. And I heard a quote just the other day, and it says this. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Let me say it again. You want to go fast, you want to get something done, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Go together. And so here's what I want you to get. We want to go far at Thousand Hills Ranch Church. And so to do that, we are going to build that community, and we're going to love and serve, and we're going to tend to the herd. And so that's the point. That's the second thing. Here's the third thing. We want to tend to the herd by creating self-feeders. Creating self-feeders. Since day one of starting our church, we want a church that where people are equipped to be able to feed themselves. And you say, well, what does that look like? Well, I'll give you an example. I have a little basset hound. Her name is Lemon, right? She's white and tanned, and she's got, you know, she's about this tall, and her ears, you know, drag on the ground. Well, we got tired of feeding her, you know, daily. So what do we buy? We bought a self-feeder. A full feeder, you know, one of those feeders that you just pour a whole bag of food in, and then you train the dog, you just put it in there, and then finally, I mean, because she's a basset, she can smell really good. And so, but you train her, and she goes in there, and all she has to do is move this little metal gate or whatever, you know, on the side of it, and then she finds her food. And she has food, it's full feed, right? She can go there anytime and feed herself. Here's the thing. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we want you to be a self-feeder. And here's how we do it. We provide spiritual food so that you can feed daily. Not just an hour on Sundays, but you can feed daily. We want it to be at your disposal. Colossians 3:16 says this. Let the message about Christ in all its richness, what? Fill your lives. You say, what does that mean? Well, we want every follower of Jesus to be filled daily with Christ. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, we provide a Sunday morning gathering where you can come and be fed. But we also provide a website. You say, how can I listen to more messages? Go to the website. You can feed on them daily. Instead of listening to the radio for an hour in the morning, go to our website. Listen to one of the messages maybe that you missed, so that you can feed yourself daily. We have a Next Step booklet that'll explain what the next step is in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's free. We'll give it to you, the Next Step booklet. But here's what I've learned is the most important way to feed yourself. You ready? It's to daily read God's Word. It's to daily just spend, you know, time in God's Word, to pray to Him, to maybe read a devo or a devotional each day that you start, right? I mean, some of you guys do this. You have what we call a quiet time in the morning where you just spend time. You get the kids off to school or whatever they're doing. You get alone with God and you read the Word of God. You pray to Him and you prepare for what's coming that day so that you can be victorious in that day. Again, you say, how do I feed myself? You read the Word of God. And you say, well, why? Why do I need to be a self-feeder? Here's why. Because people are going to let you down, but God never will. I can be there so many times for you, but I'm not always going to be there for you. I mean, people, your friends, your spouse, your wife, your husband, they're going to try to be there for you, but they're not always going to be there for you. Seniors that are graduating, your parents are going to be there for you sometimes, but they're not always going to be there for every time you need them. Therefore, you need to trust in the God of the universe who will never leave you, never forsake you, never let you down. And if you'll feed on His Word, you'll have the strength to overcome whatever trials, whatever you face, whatever fights that you have to fight so that you can find victory over them. Amen. And so we want you to be a self-feeder, and we're going to give you the resources. That's why we gave your teenagers that are graduating, we gave them a Bible and we gave them a devotional so that they can feed themselves and they can grow in their relationship with Him. So we tend to the herd. Now here's the last value that I want to touch on today, and it's number 10. It says this, we ride new trails. We ride new trails. In other words, we're not afraid to do things that no one else is doing to reach people that no one else is reaching. I was reading Cowboys and Indians magazine the other day. Anybody get this magazine? Anybody ever read this magazine? Raise your hand if you've read this magazine. Yeah, it's a cool magazine. Yeah, I read an article in here, and the title of the article was The Modern Empire of the Saddle. And I could probably show it to you, but it's about the R.A. Brown Ranch. This ranch has been around since 1895. They are going on the sixth generation of ranchers in that one family. And here's the thing. Not only are they still in business, but guess what? They're thriving. They're thriving. They're one of the number one seed stock providers in the world, and they're still growing. And you say, well, you know, why? Why are they still growing? Why are they still, you know, moving forward? Why have they been able to keep it through six generations? Here's the answer. You ready? They have a willingness to change the way they do things. I want to say it again. They have a willingness to change the way that they do things. Listen to the subtitle of this article in this magazine. It says this, the Modern Empire of the Saddle. The patriarch of the R.A. Brown Ranch in West Texas embraces science, technology, and business diversification to maintain his cattle dynasty's improbable longevity. Here's what else it says. Later in the article, it says this. The R.A. Brown Ranch is now what business types call diversified. Diversified. Each new revenue stream, each technological or genetic advancement is spurred on by the requisites of survival. Successive generations have dragged the old way of life deeper and deeper into the modern age. And the R.A. Brown Ranch leader, he says, you either got to evolve or perish. And they say that could be the motto hung over the front gate of their ranch. You say, well, what's the point? Well, in their mission statement, listen to what it says. It says, we are striving to what? Do you see that there? To improve the efficiency of converting God's forage into healthy, nutritious, great-tasting beef to what? Better feed His people. This what? Progressive ranching operation will continue to grow as it raises more cows, more kids, and more quarter horses. I don't know if you're getting this, but this is pretty amazing because they, you know why they're successful? You know why they're, you know, six generations into this ranching business? It's because they have a desire and an attitude of change. An attitude of change. Did you see it? It says we want to improve. We want to be better. We want to be progressive. We want to continue to grow. And they are growing because they're not afraid to change the way that they're doing things. Now listen. That's beef, right? I mean, the end product is beef, right? But the way that they get to the beef, they are going to change it and change it and change it so that they can end up with even a better product at the end of it. Here's the point. I believe the church would be wise to take the same advice. You say, what do you mean? Well, I believe that the gospel message never changes. Just like beef is the end result, that getting the good news of Jesus Christ is the end result. But here's what else I know. The method of delivering the gospel has to change. It has to change. You know why? Because we live in a different generation. And we got to reach different people. Look at Isaiah 48. It confirms that the message never changes. The grace, or the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures how long? Forever. So the message never changes, but the method of reaching people must change. It must change. You say, well, how do you know? Well, I look at God. You ready? I'll give you a few examples. In the Old Testament, if you read the Word of God, God used an ark to save Noah from a flood that He flooded the world with. But listen, He gave a promise at the end of that, and it's through the promise of a rainbow. My kids just learned about this. They were reading the Bible. He gave a promise that he says, I'm never going to flood the earth again. And the rainbow is the symbol of that promise. So you say, well, what's the point? God used a flood. God used an ark. And then he said, hey, guess what? I'm going to shelve that idea. Not going to use that one anymore because I don't need to use that one anymore. I'm going to use a new one. I'll give you another example. Back in the Old Testament days, they used to sacrifice lambs to be able to be able to find forgiveness with God, right? Well, guess what? God said, I'm going to send my only son, Jesus, and I'm going to sacrifice him. He's going to be the one for all lamb so that you don't have to, you know, ask for forgiveness by sacrificing a lamb, but you can accept the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into your heart, and he can live in your heart. So what did he do? He changed what was old and he started something new through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he's our example. I mean, he used to dwell in the temple back in the Old Testament days. Now he dwells in our hearts. So you say, well, I don't believe God changed things. I think we should keep things the same. No, he shelved all those ideas because he knew that there was going to be a different generation that he was going to have to reach. Amen? And so, again, you say, well, what does this look like to ride new trails at Thousand Hills? Well, it really goes back to reaching the next generation. What's the key to reaching the next generation? Change. You're going to have to embrace it. You're going to have to enjoy it. And so we ride new trails by changing things. And you say, well, okay, but how do you go about this? Well, when we seek God's vision for our church, instead of asking, what would our forefathers do? We ask that. What would the preachers do that were before us? We still ask that. But here's the next question that we've started asking. What will our successor do? I mean, as a preacher, I'm asking, what would my successor do? In other words, what would a 22-year-old do? Not a 41-year-old. Amen? 41's still young. You know what I'm saying? But I ask myself, what would my kids like? What would teenagers like? What would that 20-something like? You know why? Because again, that's a part of that change. And that's what it looks like to be able to ride some new trails. And so you say, well, who else, I mean, teaches this in the Bible? Well, Paul understood this. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. It says this, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find what? Common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to what? Save some. You see what Paul's saying? He's saying, hey, when I'm with people, you know, that don't know Jesus and I need to change my method, I'm going to change my method. I'm not going to change the message. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to show them the love of Jesus. But at the end of the day, I'm going to change the method and how that I reach them. Jesus, guess what? He did the same thing. When he was talking to the Old Testament Jews, guess what he used? Old Testament Jewish illustrations. When he talked to the Gentiles, which is us, you know, people that aren't Jews, he used Gentile illustrations. When he talked to shepherds, he talked about sheep. When he talked to farmers, he talked about farming. You know why? Because he wanted to reach them right where they were. You say, okay, Bo, so what does it look like here at Thousand Hills to ride new trails? Well, I'll give you a few examples. We use our style called, you know, the cowboy culture to reach the world. As I said, we've redefined what the word reverence means. When you come in here, reverence to us is hooping and hollering. Amen? It's having a good time. We've changed the dress code. Some of you guys, you maybe grew up in a church like I did where you were expected to dress a certain way before you could come through the church doors. I mean, if you came in with a t-shirt on or whatever, or shorts or whatever you had on, I mean, they were like, hey, you need to go change before you come to church, right? We've changed that. We're riding a new trail. We believe that that's a religious barrier that keeps people from Jesus. That's just us. So again, we've changed that. That's a new trail. We've changed the way we relate to the culture. I don't stand up here and try to be a fake preacher. I'm going to preach real things. I'm going to bring real illustrations that the rural people of Oklahoma understand. I'm going to use examples of the Western culture because we live in a Western culture. We value authenticity. We're not going to talk fake when we're on a stage and then get off the stage and talk real. We're going to talk real on the stage. We're going to use real illustrations about real life so that we can reach real people. Amen? You say, well, how else do you ride new trails? Well, we believe that we are able to go, and not everybody's able to do this, but we are able to go places that many churches steer clear of to be able to reach people that no one else is reaching. I've been to a lot of bars lately. I've been around a lot of people who like drinking Keystones. You know what I'm saying? And you say, well, why would you go there? Here's why. Because there's people that God wants to reach. And I used to kind of get leery when I was working in another church or other churches. And again, I'm not dogging other churches, but they need to change a few things if they're going to reach this generation. And so I used to, when I was with somebody and they were, they were having a beer at dinner, I would see my Christian friends and my church friends coming and I'd be like, whoa, what are they going to think? Now, guess what? I buy their beer. You may disagree with that, but if it takes a beer to build a bridge, then I'm going to build a bridge so that they can find Jesus. Amen? So we ride new trails. We enjoy being creative. We leverage technology. Some of you guys are like, I don't know about technology. I don't know about the internet. I don't know about Facebook, all that stuff. Listen, we are going to embrace it. It's going to be a tool that we use and we are using to reach people. Because we desire to ride new trails. And because, guess what? Change equals growth. It equals growth. If you want to die, don't change. If you want a church to die, don't change. But we are going to ride new trails. And so here's the thing. You say, well, what's that have to do with me? Well, you have a choice as well. You can sit there and frown or, not embrace change and not enjoy things that we, try to change so that we can reach people. Or you can embrace the change and we can have a healthy, effective, and growing church that reaches people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we tend to the herd, and guess what? We're going to ride new trails for the glory of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you guys are here today, and you need to make a commitment. A commitment to join a team, to maybe tend to people in this church, not just expect to be tended to. Right? Some of you guys are here today, and you've thought about joining a team. You've thought about, being a part of maybe the mending team or the ranch kids so that you can show kids love. I don't know what team it is that you need to join, but I'm telling you, you need to begin to tend to the herd at Thousand Hills. And guess what? If you need tending to, we're here to tend to you. We're here to tend to you. Some of you need to maybe reach out to someone instead of asking them to reach out to you. You need to begin to love people rather than just thinking you need to be loved. You need to embrace serving people rather than expecting to be served. Some of you maybe need to join a ranch group. Again, when they come back in the fall, you need to get involved. You need to begin to build a community in a ranch group so that you can just be encouraged. So that you can have people praying for you. You can develop Christ-centered friendships rather than the friends that are going to lead you astray. So maybe you need to make that commitment to join a ranch group. Maybe you need to become a self-feeder rather than just relying on the church to feed you. So maybe you need to open up the Bible yourself and begin to read it. Maybe grab a devotional today from our outfitter's table and begin to read it. Some of you are here today and you don't really embrace change. It's kind of hard for you, and it is. It's hard for all of us. But I want you to recognize, and I want you to understand that at Thousand Hills, we're going to ride some new trails. We're going to do some things that no one else is doing to reach people that no one else is reaching. And again, it's not right for everybody, and that's okay. But it is right for us. And we praise God for all the other churches that are reaching people that we can't reach. But we're going to do our best to reach the people that God has called us to reach. And so maybe you just need to say, okay, Lord, change my heart. Help me to embrace change so that we can reach the next generation and we can reach the world around us. Some of you maybe need to start going places that, again, that they're not going to lead you to sin, but going places with the intent of reaching the unchurched culture. Ministering to people that maybe don't look like you or smell like you or drink what you drink or, you know, do things that you do, but your goal is to reach them and to be in the world but not of the world. So maybe you need to pray for opportunities to be able to do that. Listen, I believe that we have one of the best churches in the world, and I want us to continue to grow. And to do that, we have to be unified around the values that God has called us to be about. And so I encourage you, grab one of the Thousand Hills Code as you leave today. If you don't know the rest of the values and study them, ask God to give you a heart that values those things so that you can be unified with us and so that we can grow together. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Jamie's going to come, make some closing comments, share with some opportunities that's coming, and then we're going to be dismissed. But I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for serving our church. I want to thank you for being generous to our church. And if you're not serving or being generous, I pray that you will commit to do that today. Lord, we just come to you today, and we thank you for an awesome church. We thank you for the values that you've shown us that we are to ride by. And Lord, I pray that everybody in this room, everybody in this barn would embrace those values and begin to ride for your glory and to increase the population of heaven. Lord, help us to tend to each other and help us to ride some new trails and reach people that no one else is reaching. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.